Hey friends, welcome to the Radical Radiance podcast. I am your host, Rebecca George, and I'm so thrilled to be with you today. I am so excited to start a new year with you. I hope you had the best Christmas and New Year's. I hope you spent it with people that you love, and I hope you feel rested and ready to start 2022. How crazy is that? So I could not think of a better way to start the year off than having my new friends, Caroline Neuheiser and Cheryl Marshall, on the show to talk all about their new book, When Words Matter Most. This conversation was so rooted in scripture. We talked all about why our words matter and why discipleship matters. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So before we get to it, I want to share about one of our sponsors, the Shine Bright Journal. The Shine Bright Journal is a free 100-page downloadable journal that you can grab at radicalradiance.live that will walk you through a lot of the things that we talk about around here. What does it look like for us to radiate the heart of Jesus in all that we do in our life, our work, our relationships, our marriage? And we'll do that through scripture, through prayer and journaling, and I just think you're really going to love it. So go grab it today at radicalradiance.live and help me welcome our new friends, Caroline Neuheiser and Cheryl Marshall, to the show. Caroline, Cheryl, I am so excited to have you on the show today. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
I know, I'm so excited. It's always fun when you get to get together with pastors' wives. So we all fall in that camp, which is really fun. And so I'm so excited to get to know you ladies and also to get to talk about your book. It is called When Words Matter Most, Speaking Truth with Grace to Those You Love. And I'll tell you, you know, when I got the email about your book, it made me so excited because I think this topic matters so much, especially right now, inside and outside of the local church. I just think there's so many implications to this, and it's just a conversation that matters to me. And so I'm excited to hear from you guys about your heart for it. Before we get too deep, though, when I have two people on an interview, I want to make sure that I let them introduce themselves. I'm bad about remembering this, because if I don't, people who don't know who you are will not recognize your voice yet. So real quick, will you both introduce yourself and give us just a quick rundown of you?
Okay. Well, I'm Caroline Neuheiser, and my husband's been a pastor for 30 years. But right now, he is a professor at Reformed Theological Seminary in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I also work as the assistant coordinator of women's counseling. And I have three sons. They're all grown, and they live scattered from me. Nobody's nearby. And I have four grandchildren.
Wow, that's awesome.
And I'm Cheryl Marshall, and I'm originally from Los Angeles, and we made our way around the country a little bit and eventually ended up in Texas, and we make a joke that all roads do lead to Texas, so we're happy to be here. And I'm married to Philip. We've been married for 27 years, and wow, he's from Mississippi. We have three children, a 22-year-old and two 16-year-olds. And a daughter-in-law on the way this next year. So we're excited about that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And my husband is a pastor at our church, one of the associate pastors. He's also a professor of biblical languages at Houston Baptist University. And at our church, I'm also the director of women's ministries. And I love what I do there. So that keeps us busy.
Yeah, I can imagine so. And as I think about the topic of your book, and now that I know a little bit more about both of you, it makes so much sense why this book needed to come into the world, right? And why you two were the ones to write it. But I'm curious, have either of you co-written a book with somebody else before? Was this a first-time thing?
No. This was a first thing.
Okay. What was that experience like?
It was good. I'm so thankful for Caroline. We've known each other for many years, but this book has brought us together in a close friendship, and so I'm thankful for that. And you know, there was a challenge at first of how do we get two voices into one voice for the book. Yeah. We got a little bit of advice on that, and we tinkered around with it and worked with it a little bit, and eventually we landed where we did, and so thankful for that.
Yeah, I'm grateful for Cheryl, who took some of my thoughts and experiences and put them into readable language. I give her all the credit for that.
Yeah, that's awesome. So as you guys were thinking about this topic, I'm curious, this idea of when words matter most, again, I'll say the subtitle, Speaking Truth with Grace to Those You Love. Why was this particular topic so important to you?
Well, several years ago, I was teaching a Bible study Sunday school class for the women at our church. And actually, it was Fundamentals of the Faith, and I taught that for several semesters. And every semester, on the first day, I would ask the ladies to introduce themselves and share with the class why they've chosen to take the class. And I would hear at times women say, well, I'm here because I want to understand the Bible better so that I can talk to fill in the blank. It could be a sister, a neighbor, a daughter, a cousin, a friend. But often they would say, you know, my sister who is struggling spiritually, and I'd like to be able to talk with her about the scriptures. Yeah. And so I tucked that away in my mind and I thought, wow, you know, that's a real need that women have. Every woman is in multiple relationships and she cares about the women around her. And so that's why some of them were there. And then sometime later, a woman stopped me in the hall at church and she said that her daughter or daughter-in-law recently had a miscarriage and she wanted to know where she could go in the scriptures to encourage her daughter-in-law because her daughter-in-law was afraid that if she ever became pregnant again, that she would lose that child as well. And so we stood in the hall and just opened up the Bible and talked through a few things. And as she walked away, it was just another example to me of what a need there is for women to be encouraged and equipped to speak biblical truth into one another's lives. Yeah. And that really got me going with the idea and then contacted Caroline and we put more of that together at that point.
Yeah, I love that.
And I've been counseling with the big part of my ministry as a pastor's wife, but also taking appointments from people who have needs. And I've also considered myself one of these older women, the Titus II women.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, we are supposed to disciple one another and to teach these young women what is good. In the end of Titus 2, in verse 5, says that the word of God may not be reviled. So the training that happens with an older woman to a younger woman is so important. And it, even in verse 8, it says, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. So we walk in integrity. We ourselves are helping to disciple people. But the women who are being discipled at church, in their church community, in their circles, won't be as needful of counseling that I do because they're ministering to one another already. And I really would like to work myself out of a job.
Yeah. Hey friends, quick break in this conversation to remind you of something. If you are loving the show, you're loving the conversations we're having, it would mean the absolute world to me if you would leave a rating and a written review on Apple Podcasts for Radical Radiance. When that happens, when more of those happen, the show gets put in front of more women, and in turn, it allows them the opportunity to take part in conversations that will show them more about what it looks like to radiate the heart of Jesus. And I can't think of anything better than that. So it would mean the world to me if you would take just 2 minutes of your time and leave a rating and a written review. I'd love to hear what you think. Now, let's get back to the conversation. And I wonder, and this is important to me. I've had a couple conversations lately, one friend in particular who has begun mentoring a younger girl in her life. And when this young lady approached her about mentorship, she had been turned down by a number of people in her local church because basically saying that they didn't have the time to invest in mentorship. And I had this conversation with my friend about how encouraged she was at the opportunity to mentor this young lady, but how discouraged she was, frankly, by her friend's church, right? And the lack of willingness to step into discipleship. And so I'm wondering, this is completely and totally off script, but I'm curious, do you think there are maybe some reasons why this is happening? What are your theories on that? And like, how can we do better as the capital C church?
Well, we took a couple of chapters to address that. One is the first chapter is the call to speak, that we are called to serve one another. Some of us don't have that teaching. We tend to get a professional class, clergy or counselor, and then we think of ourselves as not belonging to that class. Mm. But other people may say, well, I can't do it, or I don't know what to say, which is why we have our book and why we talked in our last chapter about Exodus chapter 3 and 4, when Moses complained that he didn't know what to say and he didn't have training, and how was he going to have any effect? So we're trying to address that in our book. I appreciate the question. It's a good question.
I think time is a reason I often hear as an excuse for discipleship. And I can't help but think just about our priorities, right? Like, what are we putting as a priority in our lives? Because I can think of, and I'm even convicted by that in my own life, of so many pockets of my own time that I waste on social media or on things that don't matter in light of eternity, when we are called to discipleship and we are called to that being a big part of our lives. And so when I hear conversations, time tends to be a common denominator. I don't know if you guys experience the same, but.
Yes, we actually had a Bible study for some of the ladies this past summer on the issue of being a mentor and discipling. And it was discussed how often the objection is, I just don't have the time. And I do think, as you were saying, it's an issue of priorities and really understanding what the biblical priorities are for the relationships that God has given us. And we talked about that also in the book in Ephesians 4, that the pastors and teachers, they equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And right after that is the context where we then hear, speak the truth in love. And so between those two verses is where we see these goals for relationships. And we talk about those. Those are the knowledge of the Son of God, Christ-like maturity, and unity of sound doctrine or unity of the faith. And so we delve into that just to help the reader to understand that you've been placed within the church for a reason. Your influence in the church is vital and it's significant to Christ. This is what Christ wants us to do. He wants us to speak the truth and love to one another for the building up of the church. Yeah. And so I think sometimes, as Caroline was saying, there can be this idea, though, okay, that's for the super spiritual or the professional people within the church, for them to do the discipling and the mentoring and the coming alongside. But really, God says here that we are to do that. We are to come alongside one another. So it may be on a practical level, just being creative, understanding. It may mean just having that younger lady come over and iron with you, or if you're going shopping, hey, do you want to run some errands with me? Let's just talk while we're in the car. Or if you're a gardener, let's garden together. There are ways for us to invite younger women into our lives to live life on life and just talk and share Christ and what we know of his word in life itself. And so I think that'd be something to encourage women to think about.
Yeah, that's good. And when I think about some of the most meaningful relationships I have had where older women have discipled me, it was not this, pristine situation where we sat in a dimly lit coffee shop once a week with our Bibles open and a certain book that we were going through together. While that can be an amazing thing, and that there's nothing wrong with that, and that's amazing. The couple of women that come to mind, we would run together. I would babysit their kids. I would come over while they cooked dinner. And they just allowed me to be a part of their life, right? And in that came the discipleship. And so I think that feels freeing to me now that I'm in a place of life where I desire to do that for other younger women, where it can be a formal thing, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's a wonderful thing, but it can also be sort of an integrating of our lives together. And so that comes to mind for me. And you mentioned this phrase that we find in scripture, speaking the truth in love. And I know this is sort of a crux part of the book. And I'm curious how you would want to encourage listeners, because we have a hard time with that phrase, right? Especially right now, I think in the current climate that we're living in. So why do you think we have such a hard time with this command, and what does it look like to live this out?
That's a great question, because we do want to interact with scripture and understand what it means and how to implement. So the rest of the verse is to speak the truth in speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. That's Ephesians 4:15. And then it speaks about how the Christ is the body, you know, part of this whole body that we're a part of, that it can build itself up in love. So that concept to do that is speaking the truth as we follow Christ is what we should be doing. Now, why do we not do it? Some of us are afraid.
Yeah.
Some of us are people pleasers. Like, oh, well, how could I even tell her that she needs to change, or that she, for example, is speaking harshly to her husband and she probably doesn't realize it, or she's being cruel to her kids in a subtle way.
Yeah.
Do I say that to her? She might not like me anymore, which that can keep us from speaking the truth in love. But also, we've seen people do it badly.
Yeah.
So we don't want to be those people. So we may tell ourselves, well, I don't think I will, because it's probably going to be viewed badly, or she may not notice what I have to say or be encouraged by what I have to say. She might not take it well. Mm-hmm. But also, I don't want to be that person.
Yeah.
And I think also another aspect is the truth aspect, speak the truth in love. I think there are some who struggle with being convinced of the authority and the sufficiency of Scripture to be useful and helpful and needful in the lives of other people around them. We are in a society, of course, where we're bombarded every day with worldly advice and worldly philosophies, and we are so easily taken into ideas of living that are contrary, actually, to the Scriptures. Yeah. And so I think we as women, or as the church as a whole, need to really adhere to the Scriptures. What does the Scripture say? What does it mean? And how does that apply to my life? And, you know, that means we need to be in the Word. We need to be under sound biblical preaching. We need to be listening to sound things online and reading what is sound biblically, but also in our own time of Bible study or Bible study at church, being very careful with the Scriptures to be faithful to what God's Word says, and then really receiving that into our own lives and then sharing that with others, because this is gold. This is God's Word. And I think we need to be committed to the authority and the sufficiency of Scripture.
Yeah, that's so good. And the question beneath the question that I know people listening have in their minds is this: what if I don't feel like I have all the answers? What if I'm scared that I will interpret Scripture wrong, or I will give the wrong advice or the wrong fill in the blank? Right? Like we all know the tug of that question. And so as we talk about discipleship and in this conversation, how would you want to encourage those women who are maybe feeling a little stuck simply because they don't want to do it wrong? You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. I think that's a very common concern and a fear that we have. I know that Caroline and I even feel like that at times, even still. I mean, this book is, we didn't write this book because we've arrived. We wrote this book as we are growing also. And I think there's an underlying attitude that we must always speak with, and that's an attitude of humility. You know, we don't know all the answers. And without not wanting to sound like a cliche, we do know the one who does. We do know the Lord, and we know that his answers are in his word. And so I know there's times that even Caroline and I will say to someone that we're meeting with, you know, I know that's in the scripture. I'm not sure where it is. Let me find it, you know? And yeah. So sometimes I have a lady sitting across from me and we Google it together, and yep. That's fine. We don't have to be a memory master of the scriptures in order to faithfully and lovingly step into someone's life. Yeah. And one of the things that we have also thought about a lot is this, that just to encourage women to speak out of what God is already teaching you. You may not know everything about the Old Testament, the New Testament, beginning to end, but we do know that if you are a believer, that Christ has been teaching you something in your walk. Again, through the preaching of his word or the reading of his word, there's something that you've been going through, that you've been learning about God's character, and you've been having to think of God's promises. And sometimes all it is just turning around and sharing that with a loved one. That's genuine. That's real.
Yeah. Well, I say amen to all of that.
Yeah.
But ditto. You're making me think of the passage in 2 Corinthians 1:3 that begins, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, God of all comfort," which makes us think, who is God? But then in 4, it says, "Who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." So we have some chapters in our book, especially dealing with a woman who's weeping. Mm-hmm. How do you comfort her? Well, we can identify in some small way with these women who have had heartache or disappointment or death in the family, perhaps. And we can say, like Cheryl told us already, that we can comfort them with what God has already used in our lives. That doesn't mean that the appropriate scripture is going to come to mind, but our excitement about the word has an impact.
Yeah.
And as we testify to how the word is working, that has an impact.
That's so good. So good. As I was looking through the book, I love the 3 goals that you tried to keep in mind as you were writing the book. I'm going to read those for us. Growing in unity, the knowledge of Christ, and Christ-like maturity. And I think there's one of all of them, and I don't know why, in this particular season of our lives that sticks out, and it's growing in unity. And I'm curious, you know, as we have just faced so much as a society in the last year, and we've gone through so much together, what does unity look like right now?
Well, it's interesting, in that passage, the full phrase is growing in the unity of the faith. And in that passage, the word faith does not mean our experiential response to Christ, like believing in him by faith. Here in this passage, the word faith actually means sound doctrine. It's the teaching of scripture. We are to be involved in one another's lives to help one another grow in the unity of the scriptures, of understanding doctrine and teaching that is in accordance with God's word. And so as we interact with one another, we can be encouraging other women or our family members, whoever it is that we're interacting with, to know and to understand and to apply the scriptures. So as believers, what we need to do is we need to be united around what God says in his word. We need to understand the teaching and the principles and the doctrine. Now, that does mean, or that doesn't mean that there might be different ways that putting too many negatives there together. We may still apply things differently.
Yeah.
And I think we need to be loving and understanding and gracious towards one another as we in our conscience before God come to a conclusion on how some of those things are applied.
Yeah.
But we can still, there's so much that we can be unified about from the scripture on principle. And that's where we need to focus, and then be kind and gracious to one another as we maybe then apply that differently than the next person. We just have to be very careful not to raise our applications to the same level of authority as the scripture itself.
Amen. That's so good.
Yeah, so good. I saw that played out yesterday with a lady I was meeting with who was having a lack of assurance of her own faith because she grew up in a faith system that was false. So she came to me and she goes, I don't know what's true. I don't know if I'm a Christian. What can I do, Caroline? So this is again where I just went through scripture with her, and she had some particular teachings she told me about. And interestingly, her own pastor had also dealt with that very same passage in the service. So she had some truth coming in, but she needed to be reinforced in the truth. She needed unity in the faith. And it was not just an intellectual exercise. It was affecting the way she saw herself, the way she saw her parenting. You know, she was very insecure about all of that, but she needed to be brought back into unity of the faith.
Yeah. I love that phrase, reinforcing one another in the truth. I think that's such a beautiful way to talk about unity. That's so good. Well, before we go, there's a question that I love asking all of our guests. Caroline, we were about to get into this before Cheryl joined us earlier, talking about the podcast and the name and what that means. So the show is called Radical Radiance, and our heart really is to help women see what it looks like and how we can radiate the heart of Jesus in our life, our work, our relationships. So we love having broad and narrow conversations about what that looks like. And so that's why this particular conversation mattered so much to me. And so I'm curious for both of you, and this is the question I love asking, is what about Jesus makes you radiant?
Well, I knew you'd be asking that question, so I gave a little bit of thought to it because I thought, well, there's so much about Jesus. I mean, you know, I'm a sinner saved by grace, right? And I just wanted to read this one verse in Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And so just to say, you know, every day I could think of something new about the Lord that I could appreciate. But in the last, I'll just be honest, in the last 24 hours, I have thought of Philippians 4, where it says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And that's in the context of Paul talking about learning to be content and learning to walk with the Lord despite his circumstances. And so I pray that it's the strength of the Lord that helps me today, that makes me, as you say, radiant and gives me joy despite my circumstances or through my circumstances.
I love that.
Yeah, it bears thinking about. I think your question is good. We should each ask one another that. What aspect of God's Jesus are you radiating?
Well, so a fun piece of this is God used this verse in Psalm 34 to really kind of steer me in this direction. It's verse 5, and it says, those who look to him are radiant, and their faces are never covered in shame. And so I love hearing so many responses because there end up being there's themes, right? And then there's these really personal things where somebody will be like, it's this thing about God, like that just is blowing me away right now, you know? And then I've interviewed people multiple times because they'll have another book come out, right? And they have a different answer because they're in a different place with their walk with the Lord. And so I think it's always changing. It's always growing. And so, yeah, it's my favorite question.
Well, my answer is to think about trusting the Lord and how that keeps me from getting all agitated about people changing or not changing or taking my scriptural advice or not taking my advice or bigger picture issues that people are anxious about, but Jesus entrusted himself. 1 Peter 2:23. He continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. So if we have that trusting attitude that Jesus had, it's like God is in charge of all of this. It keeps me from getting anxious and hopefully to show the radiance that Christ did in his life, entrusted himself, and it helped him to endure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so good. So good. Well, I am so grateful for you ladies. I love how rooted in scripture this conversation was, and I know that your book is the same, and I value that so much. So I'm just grateful for both of your voices. I'm going to say the name of the book one more time. It's called When Words Matter Most, Speaking Truth with Grace to Those You Love. So before we go, where can people find you, grab the book, all the things?
Well, I'm online at CherylMarshall.com and on Instagram _CherylMarshall. And you can get the book at any of your favorite booksellers, online, wherever. We're there.
Awesome.
And I have a website, CarolineNeuheiser.com, which gives some of my blogs that I've been involved with and other things, bio information, all the rest.
Awesome. Good deal. Well, I'm so grateful for you ladies. And I just want to say one more time how thankful I am to have you today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. And I hope you'll go grab a copy of When Words Matter Most today and go give Cheryl and Caroline a follow. I can't wait to be back with you next episode. We sit down with Cindy Beal and have a conversation about marriage that really mattered to me. And I think it will be so impactful to you. So join me next time for our conversation with Cindy, and I'll see you then.